This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 1, Overall Process Support and Outreach, held on the 3rd of October, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect only. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Sarah Bakke. Please begin.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining us today. This is Sarah Bakke for the record. So to go over our agenda is going to be relatively simple. We're going to be continuing our discussion of the responses we received in the community regarding an RSP program. But before we start, I'd like to see if anyone has an update to their statement of interest. Seeing no hands and no one making a comment in the chat, I will presume that we are all up to date. Also, before we begin, does anyone have any other business that they would like to raise now or at the end of the call? Seeing no hands, I will assume there is none, but should you have anything pop in your head during the call, please just put it in the chat or raise it, and we will make sure it gets addressed at the end of the call. With that, I will turn it over to Krista to continue our discussion on 1.1.3.
It's Krista for the record. And the last call, we ended on the question of who should be responsible for evaluating whether an RSP meets the requirements of the program. And that's on slide number 16. And it was a bit of a rushed comment, but we ended, and Donna brought up the raise her hand to request that we revisit the comment by Aphilius, which was Aphilius is satisfied with the current program using contracted third parties to conduct the technical reviews. Additional guidance and support of process efficiencies would be necessary. And the ICANN compliance team should also be involved to confirm that all existing RSPs are meeting existing contractual requirements. And Donna wanted us to kind of kick off this call and return back to that comment. So, Donna, I don't know if you want to go ahead and speak on it or type or go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. I'm happy to talk to it.
Perfect.
Thanks. So my concern with, it's the last sentence, that the ICANN compliance team should also be involved to confirm that all existing RSPs are meeting existing contractual requirements. The reality is that an RSP does not have a contract with ICANN, so I don't know how this could be achieved. The only way that you could do it is check with all the registry operators to see if the SLAs have been met, and that would be difficult, I think, in terms of tying it back to an RSP. So I do have a problem with that statement by Aphilius. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. We'll add it to the comments and make sure it's incorporated as we go forward. Next section is 1.1.4, and Sarah, I'll take it, I'll give it over to you.
Thank you, Krista. This is Sarah Bakke for the record. So the next question that we had put towards the community was, should there be any continuing obligations for approved RSPs, such as high-level requirements for accreditation? Should the requirements be variable based on the type of TLDs the RSP intends to serve or other factors? Please explain. And so from this, we had some support opposition for different requirements for specific TLDs. From Nominet, they stated, clearly the security and stability requirements for closed brand new TTLDs will be of a lesser degree than open new GTLDs, and the failure of a TLD for whatever reason will impact individual business registrants. Arguably, a closed.brand new GTLD should not be subject to technical performance SLAs. And then the registry stakeholder group also noted meeting rigorous SLAs are a continuing obligation for all all RSPs, excuse me, do not agree at making the technical security and stability requirements variable based on the type of TLD for more CR response to 112. Then we also had a comment from Nominet in support of additional input on program requirements. They stated that there should not be any continuing obligations as such, other than as above periodic annual audit for recertification and tier changes should an RSP take on more TLDs or experience a significant increase in the number of domains administered. Existing contractual SLAs and reporting for registry operators would presumably continue to be required by the registry operator as the primary party responsible for compliance. However, breaches of these where the RSP is at fault would be taken into account and potentially trigger a periodic audit being brought forward. Excuse me, I have allergies. So I will pause here for a moment to see if there are any comments in the chat. I'm not seeing any hands. Continue on to the next slide, which is slide 18. There was continued input for additional requirements from other parties, including the BC, BRG, and Valdeus. And they noted from BC, there should be a minimum set of requirements that an RSP must comply with, but ICANN should encourage RSPs to exercise minimum requirements in order to compete in meeting the needs of their customers. BRG stated consideration of scalability should be included on an ongoing basis, whereby the aggregate of the RSP operations may introduce risks that will not be identified against an individual registry operation the RSP supported. Reviews may also be prompted at the time of any significant change. And then from Valdeus, they stated that continuing technical obligations should be placed upon the registry operator through their registry agreement. By consequence, through the RO's commercial contract with their RSP. In other words, the status quo from the 2012 round should be maintained. And then we had some support, a suggestion for improved efficiencies in place of an accreditation program. Affiliates noted, that affiliates does not support an accreditation program, and we have had discussions regarding this that we were sort of moving away from the use of the term accreditation program, but they say that they do support improved process efficiencies, including allowing an application review team to consider whether or not a registry operator, selected registry service provider needs additional testing if the RSP has also been recently tested. In particular, variable testing requirements based on specific needs of a registry operator application would be appropriate, providing this meets a threshold that considers minimum security and stability capabilities. Okay, I will pause here and see if there are any comments regarding these responses that we received from the community. If anyone wants to expand on them, has any objections to what has been stated. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands or chat. So I will turn it over to Krista to go over the question 115.
Thanks, Sarah. It's Krista Taylor for the record. We're now on slide 19, just to make sure we're all on the same page. The fifth question was, should there be an agreement between an RSP and ICANN? And if so, what enforcement mechanism should be made available to ICANN in the event that such an agreement is breached? So at first, we'll go through some of the opposition to the agreement between ICANN and RSPs. The first one is by CIRA. I won't read it all, and I try to kind of theme it together, I'm not repeating it. So the first one is, as I said, CIRA, we see no need or benefit from there being a contractual agreement between ICANN and the RSP. We're not aware of any issues that could arise, which could not be resolved using the existing compliance mechanism and agreements. And furthermore, ICANN has enforcement mechanisms built into the RA. Jim Prendergast's comment says those providers should not be forced to contract directly with ICANN for that service. They're responsible to the client, which in this case is the registry operator and not ICANN. The third one is from the ALAC, saying the onus of RRA compliance should remain with the registry. Continuing on slide 20, it gets a little bit more wordy here. So we have Aphilius saying the contract may result in some unintended consequences. And the RSP, as a contracted service provider to the registry operator, and the RO itself should not determine how and when the RSP may communicate with ICANN. And they go on to say ICANN has the ability to activate an embargo in the event that ICANN considers a registry operator is at risk of failing to sustain any of the five critical registry functions. The next comment is from Valadeus that says ICANN already has a contract with the RO, though which it enforces through the technical SLAs. Creating additional contractual relationship between these two or three parties would complicate the authorization and enforcement lines. They further go on to say it becomes less clear who is primarily responsible for enforcing the technical SLAs on the RSP, and a communication chain would also become blurred. And finally, measures should be sought to improve the ability of ICANN to communicate with the RSPs. So that was Valadeus. The next slide is slide 21. And we start off with Nominet, and we have the BC, who both support an agreement between ICANN and the RSPs. Nominet says, perhaps in pre-accreditation scenario, there would be presumably a need to contract between RSPs and ICANN for the accreditation, or perhaps in practice simply a standard application form subject to TNCs. And they go on to say it should mirror the existing registry SLA and escalations and reporting mechanisms. So that was Nominet. And the BC says there should be an agreement between ICANN and the certified RSPs. They go on into some other details. David Conrad's team would be a likely candidate for managing breaches of this certification. And then we have one more comment, which is the RB, which has support for a limited agreement. And that's the registry operator may authorize the RSP to engage with ICANN directly for certain technical issues. And there may need to be a separate limited agreement between the RSP and ICANN if the RSP wants to avail itself on the program, which would cover the ongoing eligibility requirements. So that was the BRG comment. And Jeff, I see you have your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to see if we could tie some of these together to see if we have some sort of agreement on these points. If you look at the comments that are either in support of an agreement between ICANN and the RSPs and the BRG comment, those seem to come into play if we're talking about an accreditation or certification program. I'm not sure that those comments would be the same if it were just a pre-approval program, which is really what we're talking about. So the first comment from nominate wouldn't necessarily come into play because we're not talking about an accreditation or removing accreditation or anything like that. We're not talking about certification, so that the BC comment wouldn't necessarily come into play, and we're not talking about a program of certification, which the BRG says a limited agreement if you want to avail yourself of the program. So it would be great to hear if there's anyone on this call that feels otherwise, but it seems like to me if the program is only a pre-approval and not a formal certification accreditation program where there's consistent ongoing testing and all that other kind of stuff, it seems to me that I'm not sure I see support for an agreement, but I would love to hear from other people on the call.
Thanks, Jeff. I'll give it a minute if anyone would like to add their comments. Steve, please go ahead.
Thanks, Chris. This is Steve Chan from staff, and I was just thinking one point that might be could be considered here is when a program, or I guess if the program were to go to some sort of steady state where it's first come, first serve, how that might play into the ongoing pre-approval readiness. I'm not sure if that, you know, would result in something like an agreement, but that might be something the work check might want to consider. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Seeing no comments or no further comments, I guess we'll continue on, and we will take all comments and try to put them all together. So we should be good there. I guess we're done. Question five. So, Sarah, do you want to take on question six?
Yes, thank you, Krista. This is Sarah Bakke for the record again. So the sixth question we put towards the community was, what, if any, are the potential impacts, both positive and negative, of an RSP program on ICANN-accredited registrars? If there are any negative impacts, what are ways in which those impacts can be mitigated? The Nominate BRG registry serves stakeholder group and Validatus all stated that implemented correctly, there should be no impact on ICANN-accredited registrars. And also, Aphelius noted that there could be a potential positive impact and that it could provide a more efficient onboarding of registrars to new GTLDs. However, I wanted to note that there was a registrar, concerns were raised during the registry stakeholder group RSP discussion in Johannesburg. And so there are a few issues that need to be addressed, and I believe that the registry stakeholder group RSP is looking into these issues. So one of the first concerns is that once an RSP is certified, no further testing will be required to add a new string. RSPs being certified will imply to the uninformed that the system is proven for all strings on the RSP. Some TLDs require additional Nexus information or post-registration activation, etc. All pathways of the RSP system should require full testing. And then a larger concern was raised regarding the movement of existing TLDs between RSPs, either because a registry operator seeks to lower costs by changing providers or because a TLD is acquired by another RSP. When the back end for an existing TLD changes, cost and overhead are incurred by each and every registrar that provides registration support for the TLD. So right now there is friction in the process and that there are ICANN fees associated with the change of a backend, estimating something like $4,500 per TLD. And there is concern that there will be a perception that if a TLD moves between two certified RSPs, the impact on registrars is somehow less. Jeff, I see you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yep, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. And this is in no way meant to downplay the registrar concerns, because I think they are concerns. I'll start with the second one first. And as you know, these are being worked on. But the second one is, again, to me, implies more of a certificate where, once you're certified, you're in this, like, pool of certified registries, and it's a different type of program than what we're talking about now. What we're talking about now is more of a pre-approval program where, let's say, 6 months or whatever it is before the round is open for, or at least the first round is open for application come in, that ICANN does whatever the technical requirements are for everyone, it just does it 6 months earlier. So that by the time applications come in, the applications can kind of check a box if they want to use one of those registry operators that were, quote, pre-approved. They're not certified, they're just pre-approved, where ICANN just does not need to repeat all the evaluation for all of the for all their applications. Now, to the extent that there are differences that have not been evaluated, and those types of things are evaluated for every TLD, which they're not currently, but to the extent that ICANN or WorkTrack 4 recommends that additional things are tested, like the ability to do Nexus requirements or whatever is there, additional thing, then of course those should be put on the, you know, all RSPs, but through the pre-approval process, if that's decided that that's what we want to do. But again, I think in terms of this comment, I would like to see if we can go back to the registrars, or if there's any on here, to just ask them if we put it in terms of, look, all we're talking about is doing the test, the evaluation of the testing a few months before we do, you know, we accept applications. Does that solve some of your concerns if it's not an ongoing certification process? And then see if they still have comments on that. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. I see Richard Morgan has joined us. I don't know if you have any comments at this time regarding Jeff's question. If not, we can go ahead and go ahead. I'll give you a moment. Oops, he's having audio issues. Perhaps we could have staff give a dial out, or he's going to type into the chat. Okay. All right, and so Rich has noted that I'm satisfied with limiting the scope as Jeff recommends. Very good. Rich goes on to say that my concerns are with the movement of domains between RSPs when TLD requirements differ. Both Rich and Jeff are typing in the chat. Rich goes on to say that if there does come a time that the TLD moves to a new RSP, that all testing as prescribed is done. I thank you very much for that. See if, yes, Jeff has raised his hand in the chat. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And sorry, Jeff Newman. Rich, those are good comments, and I think I'm hoping that the registries are working on that issue. And, you know, while that might be the transfer to a new RSP is kind of outside of scope here, especially now that we've limited the program, I hope that the registries, and I know Donna and some others are on here, take that back to make sure that we work on that to come up with a satisfactory process. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. And Donna has noted in the chat that, yes, they are doing that. See a few more people typing. Just give them a chance to comment. Yes, we have one more comment from Merninger. I hope further that the registrar stakeholder group engages with the registry stakeholder group to make this efficient as possible. People are still chatting. I just want to pause for a moment before we move on to our next slide. And Donna has noted that there is a working group that registrars can join and that she will send the details. Very good to know. Thank you, Donna. All right, with that, I believe we can move on to our next slide, which is slide 23. And Krista, I will turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Sarah. It's Krista Taylor for the record. So we're now on slide 23, question number 7. And it states, should there be a process to reassess RSPs on a periodic basis? And if so, how often should assessment be conducted, and what would the process be for reapproval? So we have several comments for support for the regular audits. The first one is by nominate, saying an annual audit would be reasonable and only a proportionate check by exception and perhaps even a straightforward desktop exercise. The next one's the BC, saying an annual technical and security audit. Then we have the BRG that says communicating the results of periodic reviews to all the registry operators that utilize the RSP. And then we have Aphilius saying ongoing reviews are and should remain under the purview of the ICANN compliance team. And they go on to say a consensus policy should define both the term for a periodic review and the process. Then on slide 24, we have one more comment saying from the NCSG stating continually and consistently reassess the approved RSPs on a periodic basis. Then we have two comments saying regular audits are not necessary. The first one is Valadea saying there's already a continual process to assess the technical capability of RSPs, namely through ICANN compliance SLA is monitoring, and it is not clear that any arbitrary periodic assessment of an RSP would add anything which is not already being covered by ICANN's compliance's SLA monitoring. Sorry. And the last one is by CIRA, and it states, considering aggregating registry operator-provided data by RSPs in order to have a better vision of an RSP's overall performance. So I'll stop there to see if anyone has any comments on question 7. Seeing nothing so far, I'll turn it back to you, Sarah, for question 8.
Thank you, Krista. This is Sarah for the record again. So now we are on slide 25, and the question that we put towards the community was, if there is an RSP program, how far in advance should such program be launched prior to the opening of the next application window? So we had several responses that were in support of as soon as practical. Sierra noted well in advance of the next application window, and ideally as early as by the end of calendar 2017. The BRG noted as soon as practical. Registry stakeholder group stated that as much time as possible. However, we do not consider it appropriate to specify an arbitrary period of time that could become a constraint to opening any future application window. For clarity, under no circumstances should there be a prerequisite to the opening of the application window. Valadeus also noted that as soon as possible in order to provide RSPs with enough time to seek pre-approval before the application window opens. Going on to the next slide, there was some support for a specified time period of 3 to 12 months. Nominet noted this sort of detail will depend very much on the application process decided upon for subsequent rounds, and that 6 months for an RSP to obtain accreditation ahead of the opening of the window would be good. BC noted 6 months, and then we had a comment from John Poole of 12 months unless ICANN needs longer. And then finally, we had a comment from Aphilius noting that the launch of a program is largely dependent on the completion of an application guidebook with all terms, process improvements, and procedures finalized, and not on an arbitrary range of dates. So insofar as drafts of an application guidebook have been shared in the community and relevant parties have an opportunity to opine, the program would effectively begin on publication of the final application guidebook and run in perpetuity. So I will pause here to see if there are any comments regarding the feedback we've received. I'm not seeing anyone chatting and no hands raised. So we will continue on to the next question on slide 27. And Krista, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Sarah. It's Krista Taylor for the record. Question 9 is, should there be an RSP application cutoff date to allow sufficient time for an RSP seeking approval to receive approval in order for their application to be approved before the opening of an application window? First one is from the BC, which supports for the cutoff date, saying yes, but could also envision this as a rolling application window, and they could still request certification within the open application period. Then we have three that all support no cutoff date. And pretty much we have the registry stakeholder group, CIRA, and the BRG saying they do not believe that a cutoff is warranted, and all three comments around the same idea there. Then we move to slide 28, and we have suggestions for timelines. The first one is from Valadeus that says, in order to prevent a situation where RSP fails to achieve pre-approval by the start of the application window, therefore leaving them and the TLD applicant a relatively short period of time to compile the answers. Next one is from the BRG saying to provide indications of timelines to inform RSP candidates who may wish to target operational dates imposed by future application windows. And the third one is from CIRA that says, a deadline would be established that would ensure certification was possible prior to the opening of the application window, but that the certification process would remain open. Then we have one comment that the program should be optional, and that's from Nominate, saying arguably the RSP program could run concurrently with the application window, but these sorts of logistics points we think are more operational in nature and should follow from the policy principles. Finally, moving to slide 29, we have a proposal for process improvement without accreditation from Aphilius
that says the program is largely about process improvement and will hinge on finalizing applicant guidebook. And there is no begin or end date except as may be present in the next application window unless the program simply runs in perpetuity. For the purposes of a registry operator that wants to seek an experienced RSP, as suggested in question 1.1.2, ICANN could seek to summarize and make more conveniently available the mandatory reporting already provided by RSPs. And that was by Aphilius. So that's all the comments for question 9. And I see Kurt's added a comment saying it's important to the idea of a cutoff date as a requirement of a clear RSP application processing timeline that is already met. Seeing no typing and other comments, on to question 10. And Sarah, back to you.
Thank you, Krista. And this is Sarah for the record again. So the 10th question that we put towards the community was, if there is a list of pre-approved RSPs in any RSP program, should there be a provision granted to organizations as an RSP to an existing delegated TLD? If yes, how would such a provision work? If not, would ICANN use the RSP's existing performance to satisfy any of the technical requirements and or tests used in the approval process? So we had some support for established providers to be considered to meet the minimum qualifications of an RSP program. From the registry stakeholder group, they noted RSPs that have been through technical evaluation and monitoring as part of the 2012 application process should be considered to meet the minimum qualifications under any RSP program. Additionally, Nominet noted that there should be a presumption that existing RSPs with a strong track record and competencies should be given a waiver for most, if not all, technical requirement checks. And Nominet went on to note that an existing RSP should be trusted to be a competent provider to new GTLDs without further testing within this certification. Going on to the next slide, there was also support from Sierra who said, yes, absolutely. Simply put, existing RSPs that are providing service to one or more registry operator have previously conducted the PDT testing and are meeting the performance targets stipulated under the ICANN RA and should be offered RSP certification without the need for further testing. I will pause here, and I see that Jeff has raised his hand, so please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we can take it as an action item. Let me go back. So I two things. Number one is, if there are different requirements in this for the next round and ongoing, if different requirements, I'm not sure how we can just say that none of the existing providers would have to go through the pre-approval, at least some form of the pre-approval process. But even so, even if there were no different ones, I would like to take it as sort of an action item to see if anyone on ICANN staff would see any anti-competition concerns with incumbents not having to do testing in this type of program. I'm not asking, I guess, for a formal legal opinion, but I would be curious to see if there would be any concerns from the legal team in recommending something like that. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. And I see that Rubens has made a comment. If the new is a subset of the old, they can be different and still covered by the previous testing. Okay, and your hand was raised for like a nanosecond, so I assume that we not on purpose. So we will go on. Yes, Maxson. Thank you, Jeff. So then there was some support for having the same program requirements. The BC noted all RSPs should be required to request certification and adhere to the requirements of the program. And Google stated that the PDT should resist calls for unnecessary or overly burdensome restrictions on RSPs or for ICANN endorsements based on incumbency in the space. Then there was some support for leveraging information about the past performance of RSPs from the BRG. They said, yes, as our response in 117, this is important for consumer registry operators that will rely on ongoing capabilities of an RSP that supports their registry but does not have the perspective that ICANN has when assessing the overall technical and scalable capabilities of an RSP supporting multiple registries. They also went on to say that consideration should be given towards communicating the results of periodic reviews to all the registry operators that utilize the RSP. And then we had feedback from Affilius, who said that they do not support a pre-approval list. As an administrative task, ICANN could maintain detailed testing results and pass them along to review teams, and that existing performance as documented in the mandated reports already provided to ICANN could be used to satisfy some of the technical requirements of an application review. And then from John Poole, he stated that it is up to ICANN technical to decide. Looking at the chat now, there was a note from Trang. She said, I think the answer to your question depends on the requirements for the RSPs under the approval program. I believe that Francisco previously provided some comments to Work Track 4 regarding additional criteria for RSPs to enhance SSR. And Jeff noted, I'm not sure that I understand the Affilius comment. All right, perhaps it would be helpful, do you want me to read it for the record in full so that we can have a better overview of what they're stating? We'll pause here, see if anyone raises their hand. Jeff has stated from a legal standpoint, I'm not sure that it matters whether there are new requirements or not, that I would love to hear from ICANN Legal. Great. And I think staff has made a note of that, and so hopefully we'll get feedback on that. Okay, I'm not seeing any further comments or hands raised, so I will pass it on to Krista to go over our final question that we put towards the community.
Thanks, Sarah. It's Krista for the record. Last question is question 11. It says, if an RSP program is established, how should it be funded? For instance, should registries pay into the program, which will reduce related ICANN evaluation fees and associate application fees? First comment is pretty lengthy. It's from Sarah, and it says, overall comment is to charge RSPs participating in the program. It says it would be reasonable to expect an RSP, not the registry, to pay a fee, perhaps annually, to maintain their certified status, that such fees should not be dependent on the number of strings for an RSP provided service, but may be scaled based on the total number of domains under management of the RSP program, and presumably any such certification fee will likely be passed along to the registry operator and ultimately the consumer. And so it would be a reasonable target to keep this fee to a minimum. And they go on to say an alternative option would be to follow the current model for registrar fees that includes a fixed and variable component that is derived from the actual budget required to support the program. And the last one is registry operators as a contracted party would be obligated under contract to operate their registry only with certified RSPs. And that's a SIRA comment. We have one from the BC, which says it should be paid by the RSPs. And then moving to slide 34, it says pretty much the same thing. The RSP can be charged a fee, and that's from the BRG. John Poole agrees application renewal fee charged to apply and renew the RSP accreditation. Registry stakeholder group has the same thought, and then Validates has a little bit different, saying pre-approval fee should be charged directly to the RSPs, who then have the option of recouping the fees through the pricing models to their clients. And sorry, I'm not saying that's different. It just adds to the thought. Finally, we have a different one, which is the charge new RSPs a fee and no/minimum fee for proven RSPs. And the first one's from Nominate saying, ICANN should conduct RSP program checks at zero or minimum cost to the RSPs, where the exercise is minimum based on RSPs' proven experience of meeting SLAs for round one registry operators, and that it seems fair to charge the applicant a reasonable fee which reimburses ICANN's cost of conducting the evaluation. So that was from Nominate. Then moving to slide 35, which says reduce fees over time. And the first one's, or the only comment is from Aphelius, which says Aphelius does not believe that process improvements could result in reduced evaluation fees. It should be monitored and result in reduced application fees over time, only if deemed appropriate after all 2012 costs are identified. So those are all the comments from question 11. I'm seeing nothing in the chat. Finally, we actually just have some general comments, and that's in slide 36. And it's the comment is to require RSPs to meet standards in EPP extensions, file formats, billing transactions, and domain transaction type name. And the registry stakeholder group says, while they welcome innovation, and we can see multiple new business models come out of the current and TLD program, the registry stakeholder group encourages ICANN to concurrently consider the importance of standardization for the domain industry, and that its standards in the future should be required of all RSPs in aspects such as EPP extensions, file formats, billing transactions, and domain transaction type name. This will ultimately reduce operational costs and consequently reduce end user fees. And Ruben makes a comment, the E in EPP stands for extensible, so it will have different extensions. And Jeff notes it needs to get back to work track four, and thankfully Rubens and Cheryl, you're on our call, so we should be good there. So any other comments, Sarah, or anyone else on the call? Hearing nothing and seeing nobody typing, I think we're actually done a little bit early, and we've gone through the entire topic. So we'd like to thank everyone for their time and thoughts and discussion. And the next Work Track 1 call is on October 17th at 2000 UTC. Thanks, Terry's right on schedule there. And I think that's a wrap. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.